Good morning. In our first reading and in our responsorial psalm and in the gospel, we hear a lot about this theme of a vineyard. And so I want to unpack that with all of you today. What's going on here with all this talk about vineyards? Well, in that first reading, I want to start with the end of that first reading when Isaiah says, "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." And that, too, was the refrain that was sung in the responsorial psalm, "The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel." What this is referring to here is the divine pedagogy. God's approach in the Old Testament to saving the whole world was that he would have this one group of people, and I've preached a lot on this before, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but he would have this one group of people who would get to know him really well. He would shower his blessings upon them, they would get to know him, they would live in his ways, and then they would then go into the world and bring everyone else into relationship with God. That was God's approach to saving the whole world, to pick this one group of people, not because they were better or holier or smarter or whatever else, because they were none of those things, but to just pick this one group of people and get to focus on them, and then have them go into the world and bring everyone else in relationship to God. That was God's approach in the Old Testament. And what he's saying here through the prophet Isaiah, he's actually complaining today in this reading. God is complaining. He is saying, "I did everything I possibly could have for that vineyard." He said, fertile hillside, I spade it, cleared of stones, planted the choicest vines, built a watchtower, hewed out the wine press. And then he was looking for it to bear fruit. He was looking for it to do what it's supposed to do, to bring other people to him, to bear that fruit, to one day get to heaven with him. That was kind of the ultimate goal, right? To bring as many other people as possible with them. And what does he say? He says, "I look around and there's nothing but wild grapes," meaning all of my work was for nothing. And he complains. He says, "What more could I have done that I didn't do?" And then he says, "I'm going to break it down. I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to let it be trampled. I will not send the clouds upon it, and I will bring my justice, my judgment upon it." Now, let's pick up in the gospel, because our Lord in the gospel today picks right up with this same theme, with the chosen people Israel, the Hebrew people, as being that people of God that God was going to get to know, and they were going to get to know him, and they were going to go out into the world and bring people to him. He uses the same image of a vineyard. He says there was a landowner. The landowner, of course, is God the Father. He put a hedge around it, dug the wine press, built the tower, did everything God could have done, just as we heard in the first reading from Isaiah. Our Lord is telling in this parable, basically, that God has done everything God could have done. And then when the time drew near to reap the fruit, the produce, that is, when the time came for them to then go out into the world to do their job, to get to heaven themselves and to bring other people with them, there was no produce. He sent the servants. He sent some of his servants. Now, the servants were the prophets. And throughout the history of the chosen people Israel, God sent prophet after prophet after prophet to tell them to bring about that fruit, to call them back onto the straight and narrow path, to warn the people, "You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing." And what did the Hebrew people do one after another to their own prophets? They ignored them, and many of them they killed. And then finally, in this parable, our Lord says, "Finally, the landowner thought, they wouldn't listen to my servants, the prophets, I will send my own son." And isn't that what our Lord did, what God did? He sent his own son to them, to call them out, to be the fulfillment of the Hebrew message, to be the fulfillment of the messianic promise. He sent his own son, and what did they do to him? Treat him even worse. Crucify him. And then our Lord ends this parable by saying, "What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They weren't producing fruit, and when he sent them prophets to warn them, they didn't listen. When he sent his own son to warn them, they didn't listen. And our Lord says, what will the owner of the vineyard do? What will God the Father do to those tenants when he comes? And paints a very clear picture. how does this apply to us? Well, the church, brothers and sisters, is one of the titles of the church. One of the things we are called to be, principally, is the new Israel. You know, unlike the old Israel, it was a gene pool, really. You were born into it or you were not born into it. Either you were born into the chosen people or you were not. It was completely genetic, right? And you were called to be in that relationship with God and then go out into the world and bring others into relationship with God. The church, however, the new Israel, is not a group of people that one is born into through natural birth. It's a community of people that one is born into through supernatural birth, through the waters of baptism. But our mission is the same, just like the original Israel in the Old Testament, whose job was to get to know God and then to go out into the world and bring other people into relationship with him. That is our job too. Our job as the new Israel, and again, God doesn't choose us because we're smarter or better or brighter or holier, because often we're none of those things. God chooses us. This is simply the divine pedagogy. He chooses us to come to get to know him, and then our mission is the same, to go out into the world and bring others into relationship with him. And we can kind of hear our Lord complaining about us today, because he's saying, I've done everything I possibly can for them. I've done everything I possibly could for them, and yet they're not bearing fruit. And I think it's very easy for all of us, and certainly myself included, as members of the new Israel, as members of the church, to become very complacent. To think, well, you know, I go to Mass every Sunday. I tithe my 10%. I do the bare minimum. And we can look at our relationship with God as a bunch of minimums that simply have to be met. But then we're not bearing fruit. We're not working on getting ourselves to heaven, and we're not working on getting other people to heaven. We're not bearing the fruit. We're not doing the job that we were supposed to do if we simply approach our faith as a bunch of checklists. And let me remind you where the gospel that we just heard picked up from last week. Remember, we've been working through Matthew's gospel in year A here. And remember, last week, right earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus speaking to the chief priests and the elders of the people who were supposed to be doing it the best as the chosen people, he says to them, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven before you. Tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of heaven before you. Now, obviously, he doesn't mean people who are still tax collectors and prostitutes. He means people who once were, but have come into relationship with God. They've come to know him. They've repented of their sin. They've come into relationship with God, and they're bringing other people into relationship with God. Yeah, they may have been tax collectors and prostitutes. They may have been something that you never were. You may have lived an all right, okay, kind of good enough life, whereas they were in the pits of sin, but they're going to be entering heaven before you. Why? Because they've repented of their sin, they've recognized all that God is doing for them, and they've come into relationship with God, and they see their mission clearly as part of the new Israel to go out into the world and to bring others into relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, we can't approach our faith, and again, I preach to you just as much as I preach to me, we cannot approach our faith as simply a good enough. Well, I'm good enough. I'm holy enough. I do the minimum. That's not our job. Our job is to go out into the world as the new Israel, to bring as many other people to the Lord with us. And if we don't do that, our Lord paints a very clear picture of what's going to happen. So let's pray for the grace today that we may not become complacent or just good enough in our faith, that we may take the steps needed to be bold in our proclamation, to come to know God, and then to bring others to know him as well.